Dash Sawyer loved spending time on Passage. Loved it. The massive space station was pretty much about by and for spacefarers. There were no planetsiders to speak of, the sorts of people, farmers, settlers, miners, shopkeepers, who knew little about space travel and cared even less. On Passage, Dash thought he was amongst his own kind. Passage thrummed with life. That was it. Not machines, real life, in the faces and voices and sounds around him. He let his shoulders drop for a moment, reveling in the sensations that were so different from inky blackness and ancient metallic killers. He glanced at his chrono, which was synchronized to the Passage clock. He still had time, so he savored his coffee instead of gulping it, taking wincing sips in a staccato beat. The reconstituted stuff he could make aboard the slipwing always came out weak and watery, swill compared to this delightful concoction. He did wonder where they managed to find something resembling real cream aboard a remote space station, but decided some things were probably better to not know. In any case, it gave him an excuse to linger on the margin of the promenade lining Merchant's Row, enjoying not just coffee, but also the scene splayed beyond the broad, round viewport. The moment was, Dash reflected, almost perfect. He had a crew, a trusted crew, a ship that hummed with new efficiency, and a seat in the most lethal weapon he'd ever imagined. The archetype was built to be legendary, and his role as pilot and warrior was becoming more comfortable as the hours and days wore on. He'd even managed something unthinkable. A bit of time to himself. Nowhere to be right away, just him and... Dash, where are you? He swallowed coffee, sighed, and tapped his comm. In my happy place, Lyra, why? Because we've got a meeting with maintenance, yeah, I know, but it's not for another hour yet. No, it's right now, 1400 passage time. Nuh-uh, 1500. No, 1400. You wanted it right after lunch, remember? Dash frowned, but it turned into a wince. Ah, yeah, you're right. He released an annoyed sigh, then cleared his mind. It did him no good to deny a schedule of his own making, especially when he knew how important it was. See you as soon as you get here, which needs to be, like, right now. Got it. Dash looked into his mug, said, The universe is conspiring against my coffee intake, and gulped down the rest of the brew. With the salute of his empty mug to the stars, he said, I win. What have you won? Sentinel asked. Proper caffeination. And this is critical. It is for the good of the galaxy, so yes, Dash said. I'll take that under advisement. He found Lyra waiting for him in a surprisingly grubby compartment that seemed to combine attributes of both office and workshop. Parts were scattered about the place, some of which he recognized, while others were entirely cryptic, maybe even just junk. A thin, acrid reek of drive coolant and lubricants fumed the air. Dash wrinkled his nose and stopped amid the clutter, arms crossed. And I thought I was disorganized, Lyra shrugged. You are, but unlike your actual chaos, this seems like a pretty organized disorganization. So if I start moving things around... Don't. Dash flashed Lyra a grin. She gave him a wintry smile, wagging her fingers like weapons over the orderly expanse around her. And don't touch anything either, she added, her tone one of stern warning, but her eyes were crinkled with laughter, and he knew it was purely for show. He picked up a small unit, a transducer of some value, and tapped it gently, setting the metal ringing like a soft chime. You never let me do anything fun with engineering, he said. And by fun, I mean general destruction, but you get my meaning.
That's because some of this stuff is worth a lot of credits,
a new and bubbly voice said.
And if you break it, you buy it.
Dash turned and found himself facing one of the grubbiest people he'd ever seen. She was cute, he thought, although it was tough to tell for sure under the smears of grease and grime. Her coveralls were just as bad and maybe worse, successive generations of stains rendering their original color to something between gray and darker gray. It all made her bright, cheery smile stand out that much more. Lyra grinned.
Hey, kid. Dash, this is Amy.
The newcomer turned to grin to Lyra, then crossed to her, and the two embraced warmly, despite the grubby coveralls.
Buried in work, Amy said. But what else is new?
Dash smiled, then gave a half bow with some gallantry. Charmed, I'm sure. Lyra scowled as she and Amy separated.
Amy, this, gentleman is Newton Sawyer, call me Dash, the owner of the slipwing and my, let's call him a business associate. Dash, this is Amy Anson, my cousin, and probably the best ship mechanic at this end of the sector.
Don't let Victor hear you say that,
Dash told her. Amy grinned again. Victor taught me a lot of what I know, she said, wiping a hand on her coveralls and holding it out for Dash to shake. He did, even though the wipe had probably just made her palm even dirtier. Her hand was calloused with a grip like a hydraulic vise, but surprisingly warm.
So, I hear you guys need some work done on your ship.
Dash nodded. Yeah, my poor old slip wing took quite a beating.
From what?
Dash glanced at Lyra. A few fights, almost being crushed by a gas giant. It's a long story.
We're hoping you can get to work on it right away, Lyra said. I know you're busy, but...
Amy held up a hand.
Never too busy for my favorite cousin. I might need a day or so to get a few things out of the way, but after that, I'm all yours.
You know, I hate to bring this up, but what are your rates? Dash said. We're not exactly flush with credits right now. Amy grabbed a jacket hanging from a power coupling sitting on the edge of a workbench. It was, if anything, even dirtier than her coveralls.
For my cuss here, my rate's whatever you guys can afford. It's the parts that are going to be the issue.
She pulled the jacket on.
First things first, though. I have to see your ship before I can even start to guess what this is going to cost.
Dash nodded and gestured toward the door. Right this way. We're docked on E-ring.
E-ring? Why all the way down there?
For reasons, Dash said, preferring to leave it at that. E-ring was sometimes called the Barrens, a remote part of passage far removed from the bustle of Merchant's Row, where almost all of the wheeling and dealing for cargo and other jobs happened. E-ring did have the advantage of relatively cheap docking fees, but the bigger benefit was the fact it saw little use. You could get away with things at E-ring you simply couldn't elsewhere on the station. It was cozy in the way required by people on the cusp of respectability. And holy crap, were they trying to get away with something now?